So good evening, mga kapatid. To those who are watching us online, magandang gabi. So today we will continue our study sa Jude, and we will look into verses 3 to 4. So let us open our Bibles and basahin natin yung verses 3 to 4. So let us all stand up. So, right? And let us read now verses 3 to 4. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Mga kapatid, this is the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Word. And we thank you, Lord, for gathering us once again, Panginoon, to hear your Word. We just ask, Lord, for your grace. May you use your Word, Panginoon, to enable us. May you use your Word, Panginoon, to strengthen us, to encourage us. And may you bless our time together, Panginoon. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's all be seated. So, si Apostle Paul, sinabi niya sa that the Church of the Living God is the pillar and the foundation of faith, of the foundation of the truth. And we were saved by grace through faith in Christ, which is the truth, the way, and the life. So Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That is why, as a church, we preach Christ and Him crucified, and we proclaim the truth to bring deceived souls to the knowledge of the truth that saves and frees. And yung buhay natin as a believer revolves around truth. We are commanded to obey the truth, to love the truth, to judge by the truth, to speak the truth in love, to walk in the truth. So kung titignan natin, yung buong relasyon natin sa Panginoon is based on truth. We hear the truth, we understand the truth, we believe the truth, we live the truth, we learn the truth, and we proclaim the truth. It is in the truth that we are justified. It is in the truth that we are being sanctified. And it is in the truth that we hope for glorification. That is why the truth is always under attack, and it will be always under attack. And kung titignan natin, history is filled with accounts of people who chose to accept torture or death rather than deny the truth. So sa unang generation ng church, all apostles except si John died for their faith. And si Apostle John, although hindi siya namatay as a martyr, he paid the price for standing for the truth. He was tortured and exiled for his faith. We have these stories ni Ignatius tsaka ni Polycarp na mga kaibigan tsaka disciples ni Apostle John who also died for their faith. Si Ignatius, nirefuse niya si Emperor Trajan who demanded him to make a public sacrifice sa mga idols para lang ma-prove that he is loyal sa Rome. Hindi niya yun ginawa. And as a result of his refusal, tinapon siya sa stadium na punong-puno ng mga wild beasts. Si Polycarp naman, isa siya sa mga na-wanted siya ng mga authorities kasi isa siya sa mga leaders ng church during that time. And nung nahuli siya, dinala siya sa stadium before a bloodthirsty mob. And he was asked to curse Christ in order to save himself. And ito yung reply ni Polycarp. Sabi niya, 86 years have I served him, and he never once wronged me. How then shall I blaspheme my king who saved me? And for saying that, he was burned on the spot. in every generation across the history of the church, we see countless martyrs who would rather die than deny Christ, and who would rather die than deny the truth about Christ. Ngayon, let us ask, someone will say or ask, are they just fools na nasobrahan lang sa kanilang mga convictions? Or baka meron lang silang misguided zeal, no? In what they believe in. Did they die needlessly? Many these days evidently think that yes. Sadly, even sa mga tao who profess to believe in Christ, sabi ng isang pastor, living in a culture where violent persecution is almost unknown, multitudes who call themselves Christians seem to have forgotten what faithfulness to the truth often costs. Eto mga martyrs na ito, naintindihan nila kung ano yung ibig sabihin ni Paul nang sinabi niya, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Naintindihan nila kung anong ibig sabihin ni Jesus nung sinabi nila, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Personally, I have no idea kung gaano kahirap yung pinagdaanan nila. Most of us, including me, have not experienced what it felt like to be imprisoned, beaten, and stoned for their faith. And the worst thing that could ever happen to me, I guess, is to be ridiculed for preaching more than 1 hour. Or siguro for teaching Jude ng isang taon. Or siguro kung tulugan ako sa preaching. Yun lang yung pinaka-worst na pwedeng mangyari sa akin. And we are so blessed that we can exercise our faith here in our country without fear of putting our lives at risk. But at least, kahit hindi pa tayo dumadating for the faith. And etong verses 3 to 4, ito yung key passage ng entire epistle ng Jude. If we are looking for an application, ito yun, verses 3 to 4. So here is the application. Early this year, meron akong privilege na magturo ng expository studying sa pitong men, no? Every week for almost 6 months, nag-aaral kami ng expository studying. And early sa amin pag-aaral, isa sa mga ayaw namin ng expository preaching kasi parang mahirap siyang pakinggan. Mga kapatid, we must understand. And praise the Lord pala. Kasi after our study, we are all convinced, I hope, I guess, no? We are all convinced, no? That the right way to study scriptures is to understand yung literal, grammatical, and historical meaning ng text. Mga kapatid, we must understand that ultimate truth is an objective reality. And it exists outside of us and remains the same regardless of how we may perceive it. Our generation is so used in looking at God's Word, and ang tinatanong natin, what does this mean to me? Rather than asking, what does God mean by what He says? The true meaning ng Scripture has already been determined and fixed in the mind of God, and it is not determined by our intuition, experience, or desire. So ang task ng isang preacher or ng isang teacher is to discern you, ano ba yung meaning ng text? That is why a proper interpretation ng text must precede application. And kung titingnan natin, no, si Jude sa verses 3 to 4, bago nagbigay si Jude ng application to contend earnestly for the faith, ang pinakita niya sa verses 1 to 2 yung katotohanan that our salvation is secured in Christ. We have a secured position in Christ. Yun yung ginawa niya sa verses 1 and 2. So we can go all the way in contending for the faith, even kung ang kapalit ay buhay natin, because in Christ we are secure. So parang ang hirap naman nung you are contending for the faith. Tapos in the end, hindi ka pala secure dun sa pinaglalaban mo. And many people are like that. They die needlessly for a God, for a Savior that cannot save them in the end. But not us. We can contend earnestly for the faith because the Savior that we believed in is able to keep us from falling. Yun yung ibig sabihin dito ni Jude. So verses 1 to 2, no? Nakita natin sa verse 1 na tulad ni Jude, a believer is a slave of Christ. So Christ is our master. So like Jude, Christ is his master, and also do we. And this truth means everything because lahat ng meron tayo, lahat ng pag-aari natin, even our very life is nakasalalay sa ating master, and Christ is a loving master. In Him we are kept, in Him we are loved, and He is able to keep us from falling. And He addressed yung letter niya sa verse 1, and Jude, to the called, sabi dyan, to the chosen ones. And since we are the called, then we are beloved by God and we are kept by Christ. And because you are chosen, loved, and kept, we also have mercy, peace, and love multiplied in us. That is how secured we are in Christ. And now Jude is urging us that we must and we can contend earnestly for the faith because we are secure. And dito sa verses 3 to 4, makikita natin yung purpose. Bakit sinulat ito ni Jude? No? And this would help us understand yung danger ng apostates. So, sa verse 3, titignan natin yung call ni Jude to contend for the faith. So, Jude's call to contend for the faith. Yun yung makikita natin sa verse 3. Now, sa verse 4, titignan naman natin yung reason why we must contend for the faith. So, let us look at verse 3. Sabi dyan, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. So, na-experience nyo ba yung meron kayong gustong gawin, tapos biglang naudlot kasi meron kayong naalala na mas pressing na concern. And titignan natin, parang ganito yung nangyari kay Jude. Imagine si Jude, nakalatag na yung panulat niya, nag-i-start na siguro siyang mag-isip ng outline, so magsusulat na siya, and he was very excited to write a letter about salvation. Then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit reminded him of a more serious threat na nagpo-post dun sa kanyang mga readers, yung mga false teachers, yung mga apostates, yung mga pretenders. So, ginawa niya, diniscard niya yung plan niya, then nag-start siyang magsulat, and he begins yung purpose ng kanyang pagsusulat dito sa verse 3 by saying, beloved. Word here is agapetos sa original language, which yung root means a divine kind of love, agape. Sa Tagalog, mga minamahal. So, sometimes, you take a stand on something, or if you draw the line kung saan ang salita ng Panginoon ay nagdodraw ng line, if you do not compromise but stand up for the truth, if you live for the truth and proclaim the truth, people call you unloving. And this is a common designation ng isang preacher who is true to the faith or who is exposing apostasy and the apostates, he is unloving. But we must understand, beloved, what Jude is doing here is not because hindi siya nagmamahal, kundi bagkus siya ay tunay na nagmamahal. He started to write a letter about common salvation, but he loves God's people so much that he does not want them to leave them exposed to what he saw as a great threat. He called them beloved 4 times dito sa letter na ito. And hindi ito some kind of sentimentalism or shallow emotion. This is a real loving concern of a man of God for the people of God to be protected from what could destroy them and yung kanilang effectiveness sa ministry. If you love someone, you tell them the truth, right? The most unloving thing we can do to someone we love is not tell them the truth. Jude was prepared to go all the way to the truth, even if it was painful. Nakita natin as we go along sa Jude, hindi siya mabait. He begins by saying, "Beloved." Then dinagdag niya, "Although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation," the word eager dito, ibig sabihin is to move quickly or hasten. So in a sense, parang sinasabi ni Jude, "I was in a hurry to write about our common salvation. I am excited. But I couldn't just get it done because of a present danger." Jude was eager to write about our common salvation, sabi niya dyan sa verse 1. Ayun, anong, sa ibang translation is about the salvation we share. Now, question is, anong ibig sabihin ito? Now, sa Galatians 3:28, sabi dito ni Pablo, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's no male and female, for you are all one in Christ." So, Ephesians 4:4, sabi niya dito ni Pablo ulit, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all." Sa 2 Peter 1:1, ito naman ang sabi ni Pedro, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ." Isn't it wonderful, mga kapatid, that even though etong mga kapatid natin who lived 2,000 years ago, we share the same faith with them. So nobody has more salvation than anybody else. We share all the same. Whether you are rich or poor, young or old, man or woman, whether you are a new member, an ordinary attendee, or a founding member, if you are a born-again believer in Christ, we share the same faith. In effect, sinasabi dito ni Jude, yung mga apostates, we don't share the same faith with them. Kaya dinugtong dito ni Jude, is, "I found it necessary to write appealing to you," sabi sa verse 3, no? Jude verse 3. "I found it necessary to write appealing to you." And kung titignan natin yung word na necessary, it is a strong word. So it is the same word na ginamit ni Paul sa 1 Corinthians 9:16. Nung sinabi niya sa 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For if I preach the gospel that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Sinasabi dito ni Jude, "I felt divine pressure. There is this compelling need that requires action." Kumbaga sa military, this is situation critical. So, di ba, pag ano na, pag situation critical, ano na talaga ito? It's a matter of life and death. Anong sinasabi ni Jude, "I have no choice and I need to write this to you." Kasi it seems that in verse 4, itong mga believers have no idea that spiritual terrorists, defectors, itong mga pretenders have crept in the church. They have no idea. Imagine, meron pala sa service natin, biglang mayroon dalang bullet na mayroon bomba sa loob. And no one has ever, walang idea na nandun na pala sila. That's why this is a pressing concern. So, Jude has no choice but to warn them and motivate them, sabi niya, to contend for the faith. You contend for the faith. And this is the purpose kung bakit nagsulat si Jude. And like a loving shepherd, Jude warns the people of God. The wolves in sheep's clothing are in your midst. Be warned. Yun yung ibig niya sabihin. Remember, sabi ni Christ, yung mga apostates darating. Sabi ni Peter, yung mga apostates darating. Sabi ni John, yung mga apostates darating. Sabi ni Paul, yung mga apostates darating. Sabi ni Jude, they are here. Now, no. The word contend, so going back to Jude, no, verse 3. Yung word na contend in the original language has a root word, agonizo, kung saan nagmula yung English words na agonize. Agonizo, agonize. And it is a strong word na ang ibig sabihin is struggle upon or to fight for, to fight strenuously, to defend vigorously. So, this is the word na ginagamit ng isang athlete who seriously struggles to deeply discipline himself in order to win the prize. Ika nga, no pain, no gain. Di ba? So, contend for the faith. Eh, yung word na contend, di ating ginagamit. Parang sinasabi ni Jude, I am calling on you to an extreme form of agony. You should contend for the faith. Otherwise, these pretenders, these apostates, no, they will blow up the church. These terror, these spiritual terrorists, they will blow up the church. Yung tense na ginamit dito is present infinite. So, ibig sabihin, it is a continuous action. So, we contend for the faith. Struggle upon, no? Like an athlete, na dinidiscipline yung sarili niya in order to win the prize. And we should do this continually. So, dapat continuously. Hindi lang one time, big time. So, we contend for the faith. So, sinasabi dito ni Jude, I'm calling you to arms and this battle is a continuous conflict. This battle is also the battle na yung mga anak natin is babatain nila. Yung mga anak ng anak nila is babatain nila. Yung mga anak ng anak ng anak ng anak nila is babatain nila. Babatain nila hanggang dumating yung Panginoon. And as we go to the, as we wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, apostasy will increase and will increase and will increase, will increase. So, we should contend for the faith. So, it is an all-time continuous problem, etong apostasy. 2,000 years ago, problema na nila until now at hanggang dumating ang Panginoon. And Jude is calling us to fight for the faith and kung kinakailangan, die for the faith. Mga kapatid, our Christian life is a battleground. Hindi siya playground. We are in a battleship, not in a cruise ship. Nakakalungkot, much of the visible church nowadays seems to think Christians are supposed to be at play rather than at war. And yung idea of actually fighting for doctrinal truth is the farthest thing from most churchgoers' thought. One theologian comments, sabi niya, contemporary Christians are determined to get the world to like them and of course in the process, they also want to have as much fun as possible. They are so obsessed with making the church seem cool to unbelievers that they can't be bothered with questions about whether another person's doctrine is sound or not. In a climate like that, the thought of even identifying someone else's teaching as false is a distasteful and dangerously countercultural suggestion. Christians have bought into the notion that almost nothing is more uncool in the world's eyes than when someone shows a sincere concern about the danger of heresy. After all, the world simply doesn't take spiritual truth that seriously, so they cannot fathom why anyone would. Why would anyone would? The world, wala naman silang pakialam. Jude is telling us that we don't need to be like the world to reach the world. In fact, sabi ni John, do not love the world. Jude is calling us to contend for the faith. Paul said it this way to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, sabi niya kay Timothy. Sa Corinthians, sabi naman niya, hindi ako sumusuntok sa hangin. No? I hit my opponent. I don't shadow box. Sa Ephesians, sabi naman ni Paul, put on your armor and go into battle. This is a spiritual warfare. Put on your armor. We are on a battle and we must stand our ground. Now, ano ba yung pinaglalaban natin? Sabi ni Jude, contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. We are fighting for the faith, no? The faith, not for faith. We are fighting for the faith. It is the objective faith, the Christian faith, the gospel faith. So verse 17, sa NASB, sabi dyan sa Jude 17, but you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, itong faith is constituted in the apostles' doctrine. So, the objective faith na sinasabi ni Luke sa Acts 2:42, nung sinabi niya, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Ito yung faith na sinasabi ni Paul kay Timothy sa 1 Timothy 6:20, guard what has been entrusted to you. Sa 2 Timothy 1:14, sabi naman ni Paul kay Timothy, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. So, it is the treasure of truth. Mga kapatid, we are not only proclaimers of the truth, we are also protectors of the truth. 2 Timothy 2:2. So, T2:2:2. Sabi dito, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We have a responsibility to guard the truth and pass it to the next generation. If you are a father, guard the truth and pass it to your sons. Mothers, guard the truth and pass it to your daughters. Do not let the world disciple your children. You disciple them in God's truth intentionally. Mature men teach younger men. Mature women teach younger women. Mother, teach your children. Father, teach your children. We have a responsibility to this generation to reach a generation who's to raise a generation is going to take the truth into the next generation as the apostasy grows. So as the apostasy grows, no, we have that responsibility. And there's a sure way that our church would fall away from the faith. That is when we stop preaching and teaching the truth. There's also a sure way that your children will fall away from the faith. And that if you stop teaching and preaching the truth to them. If you love Christ, if you are a true disciple of Christ, if you love our church, if you love your family, let us teach God's truth. Let us feed the people of God, God's word. Sabi ni Jude, this faith, going back to Jude, was once for all delivered to the saints. So this was once for all delivered to the saints. So this faith, this objective truth, no, was once for all delivered to the faithful. Sa Catholic Church, bago ka maging saints, maraming series ng ang kailangan mong ma-beatify, tapos ma-canonize, tapos saint ka na. But here, sabi dito, which was once for all delivered to the saints, which meaning was once for all delivered to the faithful. Those who are followers of Christ. Those who are born again believers in Christ. Those who are slaves of Christ. And this refers to something that was done for all time with lasting results. So never na kailangan i-repeat itong faith na na-deliver. So, it is complete. Kaya there is no new faith. Kaya there is no new revelation. The Christian faith was deposited to the apostles and those people who worked with them in the first century, and the canon was closed with John's revelation. So the Old Testament, added to that the New Testament. Then the Bible was closed with John's revelation. Kaya hindi coincidence na sinabi ni John sa Revelation 22, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Anong warning ni John? If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. This faith was delivered. It was entrusted by God. The Bible is a complete body of teaching, and it is the only acceptable revelation. There are no new doctrines. There is no new revelation. So hindi natin kailangan mamatay, tapos pumunta sa langit, tapos pumunta sa hell, tapos mabuhay. Para lang sabihin, meron sinabi yung Panginoon. You don't need to go to heaven or hell para lang magbigay ng bagong revelation. All one needs to do is read his Bible, which is God's revelation in Scripture that is complete. So, pag may magsabi sa inyo, na nakapunta ako ng langit, namatay na ako, na-resurrect, huwag kayo maniwala sa kanila. Because there's no more new revelation. Don't buy their books. Bumili na lang kayo ng Bible. Then makikita nyo kung ano yung revelation ng Panginoon. Pag meron na kayong Bible, bumili kayo ng MacArthur Study Bible. Pag wala kayong MacArthur Study Bible, ingi kayo kay Kuya Bill. No? So, Jude, no? All that God wanted to say is that all that He did, na ginawa niya, He did say, He put in one book. And the Scripture is all we need. We don't need to be checking out new revelation every now and then. And you don't need to be listening as if God was going to tell you some secret that He hadn't revealed to anybody else. So Jude is calling us to contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude urged believers to oppose pretenders rather than embrace them. And the life of the church depended on it. That is the purpose why Jude wrote this epistle. So verse 3. Now, to urge us to contend for the faith. Now, sa verse 4, as you look sa inyong mga Bibles, sinasabi naman ni Jude yung reason why we need to contend for the faith. No? Sabi niya dito, for certain people have crept in unnoticed. Jude urged believers to contend earnestly for the faith. Sabi dyan, for certain people have crept in unnoticed. The most dangerous part of the battle we are called to goes on inside the church. No. Against those pretenders who call themselves Christians, but they are without the Holy Spirit, they are without salvation. And Jude here does not even bother na pangalanan sila or even number them. These pretenders, hindi sila dumating straightforwardly opposing the faith. They come to the church looking like true believers. They look Christian, they smell Christian, they act Christian, and they pursue their agenda by stealth. They slip their way through or worm their way in. So, ginawa ni Jude, hindi in-identify yung doctrine, in-identify nila yung kanilang character. So Jude was telling the believers no, at that time that these people came from the outside. So probably, pinapresent nila yung sarili nila as a traveling preacher or prophet. And yung entrance nila sa church, hindi secret in a sense that no one knew they were there. So hindi secret. But kung titignan natin, yung entrance nila was secret in the way that they presented themselves as believers of Christ, but in reality, they are fierce wolves, preparing to devour any sheep if the opportunity comes. Now, sa Matthew 7:15, sabi dyan, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. So by their characters. Sa 2 Peter 2:1, sabi naman dito ni Peter, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction." Now, si Paul, habang kausap niya yung mga Ephesian elders, sa Acts 20 verse 28, ang sabi niya, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you." So sinasabi niya din sa mga elders, fierce wolves will come from among the elders. Sabi niya dito, not sparing the flock. "And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." So itong mga apostates na to, they are building their own army. Therefore, be alert. It is interesting that Jude used the word here na unnoticed. Sabi dyan, they slipped in unnoticed. They crept in unnoticed sa Jude. So, ito lamang yung unang beses na ginamit ito sa New Testament sa Jude. Wala na tayong ibang word. Hindi na siya ginamit sa the rest. So, dito lang sa Jude. Sa mga Greek writings, etong word na ito was used to describe yung cunning cleverness ng isang lawyer who sneaks into the minds of the jury or judge to corrupt their clear thinking. Or sa isang criminal who was exiled, then nag-disguise tapos after a period of time, he sneaks back into the country from which he was exiled. So, this word unnoticed basically means to sneak in secretly with an evil intent. So, they crept in unnoticed. Mga kapatid, this was a reality in Jude's time and much more a reality in our time. And as I have said, sa mga previous midweek natin, that this apostasy would escalate hanggang pagdating ng Panginoon. This is a reality we have to face as a church. Maraming mga false teachers, they are outside the church and they hate Christianity and they hate the church and hindi ito secret. Alam natin sila. And madali silang makita dahil they don't make any claim that they belong to the church. The ones that are far more dangerous are yung mga pretenders, yung mga counterfeits because they sneak in unnoticed. Meron pala silang hidden agenda. They get into the fabric of the church. They get into books, sa mga Christian radio stations, sa TV. They get into seminaries, sa mga Christian universities. They get into the pulpits and sow their destructive heresies. That is why they are so dangerous that we need to be warned about it. If you love someone, you warn them, right? Yun ang ginagawa dito ni Jude. Now, so verse 4, Jude is warning the believers by attempting to unmask them. And nagbigay siya ng apat na charges, makikita natin. Kung sino ba itong mga tao na to? Unang-una, sinabi dyan sa verse 4 that scriptures condemn them. Sinabi dyan that they are also godless, they're ungodly. Sinabi rin dyan that they change God's grace into a license for immorality. So, and finally, they deny Jesus Christ, our sovereign and Lord. Yung unang charge, sabi dito, the scriptures condemn them who long ago were designated for this condemnation. So, sabi dito, who long ago, these people, these certain people who have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for their condemnation. So, the scriptures condemn them. Yun yung unang charge dito ni Jude. So, these people, they were marked out. So, their end has been predicted. They were ordained by God for nothing but judgment and condemnation, sabi dito ni Jude. And yung tense ng word na designated is in the perfect tense, meaning it was done in the past and yung effect niya effects continue to the present, so they were designated for this condemnation. Matthew 13:24. This is interesting kasi itong Matthew 13:24 is a parable, no? Yung wheat saka tares. So if you have your Bibles, turn nyo sa Matthew 13:24. Sabi dito, this kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seed among the wheat and went away. So, makita natin that these pretenders sneak into the church unnoticed. Bakit? Kasi yung mga guards tulog. Isipin nyo na lang si Kuya Edgar, tulog, di ba? So they sneak in there slow. So I hope as a church, we would be alert, that we would always be on guard. So, then sabi ulit, no, sa verse, looking back sa verse 26 na Matthew 13. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. So their doom has been predicted long ago. These weeds will be judged. Now, may tatlong views with regards to the idea here that their condemnation is predetermined, going back to Jude, or foreordained. And wala tayong time to discuss that. So, ang pinakasimpleng explanation yung condemnation nila is that yung condemnation nila was predicted long ago. So, yun yung ibig sabihin dito niya. So, ang ginawa ni Jude sa mga susunod is nag-cite siya ng examples in the Old Testament, Egypt, Sodom, and Gomorrah, sa mga Jewish traditions, si Enoch, and sa mga teachings ng mga apostles. He did this to show that etong condemnation ng mga false believers will surely come. So, ibig lang sabihin dito ni Jude, etong mga believers na ito, nagka-claim na believers na ito, etong mga apostates na ito, no, their condemnation will be sure. Yung judgment nila will be swift, will be sure. They will surely come. And etong sabi ni Peter sa 2 Peter 2:3, but false prophets also rose among you, among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their condemnation is not asleep. Yes, etong mga false teachers na ito, they have luxury cars. They have big mansions. They are traveling in private planes. Do not think that their condemnation will not come or nakalimutan na ng Panginoon. Kasi sabi sa verse 4 ni Peter, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. If he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. God has His way of sorting us out. Alam niya kung sino ang sa kanya. And do not ever think for a second that judgment will not come to the pretenders. They will surely come. It will surely come. Hindi lamang yan. Sa Hebrews 10:28, sabi dito, anyone who set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much more worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? The hottest punishment in hell is reserved for those who have known the truth and then willfully abandon it. Ang kapatid, those are not my words. That is what the scripture said. So, their condemnation is sure. Second charge is that they are godless. So, ungodly people, sabi dyan sa verse 4. They are without worship, yun yung ibig sabihin. They have no connection to God. They have no reverence for God. So, Jude is not accusing these people of disbelief in God. They know God. Jude is accusing them of moral rebellion against God. Morality rather than theology is the issue here. And kung titignan natin sa epistle na ito, Jude almost says nothing about their doctrinal errors. And what he did is expose their godless character. Sa verse 15, sabi niya, they are ungodly sinners. Sa verse 18, they are scoffers following their own ungodly passions. So they have no fear of God. There is no reverence for God. There is no adoration of God. There is no love for God. There is no worship of God. They simply play religion. Somehow, how the church share the gospel contributes sa growing number ng pretenders. Because when we share the grace of God, we share the gospel without repentance. In our evangelism, we sell cheap grace in order for Christ to be attractive to the world. We preach Christ only as Savior, but not as Lord. So itong mga pretenders na ito, they are godless people. Yun yung sabi dito ni Jude. Now, yung third charge ni Jude is that they change God's grace into a license for immorality. So, they change God's grace into a license for immorality. Who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality. So, they enter the churches to pervert the message of the gospel. And kitang-kita ito sa kanilang mga buhay. And in some cases, they think that living immorally glorifies God all the more and makes the grace of God more magnificent. Kaya sabi ni Paul sa Romans chapter 6, sabi niya, what shall we say then? Are we continue to sin so that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So they use the grace of God as a license to sin. Most men and women, when they sin, they hide it because they have some feelings of shame. But not these pretenders. They have lost all decency. They are so indifferent to shame that they arrogantly and proudly flaunt their immorality. Of course, tinatago nila ito sa mga tao na ayaw nilang malaman yung kanilang immorality. But to those people na ginagawa nila ng perversion, they don't care. You just get your money. You just elicit some sexual pleasures. They even justify their own sin. I'm a wounded warrior na lumilibot sa buong mundo to defend the faith and evangelize the lost, so I need some comfort. Let me just have some massage. And then after that, they capture weak women for sexual pleasure. And they will justify their sins, saying, God always forgives. Or, okay lang yan, you are serving the man of God. Sabi ng isang theologian, the fact is that as soon as one says that God forgives sins, rather than demands full payment for every sin, the temptation is to presume upon such grace. What this attitude ignores is that It is upon repentance and commitment to God that forgiveness takes place. The basic Christian confession was not a statement about Jesus forgiving sin, but about Jesus as Lord. You are no longer a slave of sin, but a slave of Christ. Christ is not only your Savior, He is your Lord. So these pretenders, they change God's grace into a license for immorality. Now, the fourth charge is that they deny Christ. Jesus Christ, our sovereign and Lord. Sabi dito, and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Titus 1:16, sabi dito ni Paul, no? They profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good works. It is not that these men and women actually denied any particular doctrine about Jesus, but their behavior is a denial of Christ. Sabi ng Panginoon, why do you call me Lord and not do what I tell you? Because if you indeed love me, you will keep my commands. And the point is that if people fail to obey someone, whether or not they call him Lord or Master, they are in fact denying that he is their Lord. Nakita natin by yung behavior ng mga pretenders na to. They deny Christ as their Savior and deny Christ as their Lord. Pinapakita na itong mga pretenders na ito that their Master is yung kanilang sarili, not Christ. So, mga kapatid, Jude is urging us to contend for the faith and to watch out for these pretenders by examining not only their doctrine, but most especially their way of life. They are condemned, sabi ng scripture. They are ungodly. Ginagamit nila yung grace as a license to sin. And they deny Christ as their sovereign Master and Lord. So I hope we would be aware that merong mga ganitong klaseng believers. And the only way to guard yung church, to protect the church, is to proclaim the truth, to contend for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Okay? So, tayo manalangin. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Indeed, Panginoon, we are kept, we are loved, and you are able to keep us from falling. We are secure in you, Panginoon, that's why we can contend earnestly for the faith. And help us, Lord, na hindi po maging naive or maging masyadong pragmatic, Lord. That wala naman tong mga apostates na ito. But to help us, Lord, Panginoon, to contend for the faith and to understand how they crept in into the church. And to understand, Panginoon, yung kanilang way of life. And as we do that, Lord, as we trust in you, help us, Lord, not to rely on ourselves. Help us, Lord, to rely on you alone, by your Spirit, by your grace. And we thank you, Lord, and may you protect this church for your glory's sake. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.